It really pretty much sums it up. Could be the message of the day. Well, it is. Don't rejoice that much. But we really do need God, I think, sometimes more than we may really imagine. Father O'Malley rose one morning from bed. It was a beautiful day outside, much like this fall day is, and he walked to the window of his bedroom, and as he looked down and took a deep breath, he saw a donkey lying dead on the front lawn. So he promptly called the police department. The conversation went something like this. He said, "Good morning, this is Sergeant Jones. How might I help you?" "And the best of the day to yourself. This is Father O'Malley at St. Anne's Catholic Church. There's a donkey lying dead." I got this from Dell, but Dell sent it, said donkey. "Said there's a donkey lying dead in my front lawn. Would you be so kind to send a couple of lads over to take care of the matter for me?" And Sergeant Jones, he thought he was a clown, so he was considered himself, you know, quite witty. He said to him, "Good luck, Father." He said, "I thought that you were responsible for the last rites, and you would take care of that. At least that was what my impression was." And Father O'Malley replied, he said, "Aye, 'tis certainly true. But we're also obliged to notify the next of kin, which is why I called you." I have often wondered, when people are lying on their deathbed, what they say, what they think, what runs through their mind. So I did a little research. Alfred Hitchcock said, some of us remember Alfred Hitchcock, "No one ever knows the ending. One has to die to know exactly what happens after death." Although Catholics have their hopes, then he died. Steve Jobs, remember Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple? He said, oh wow. Then he died, and no one really has any understanding or any idea what he meant, but if you speculate on it, oh wow, may have been heaven. Whitney Houston's final words reflected her faith. She repeatedly spoke the words, "I'm going to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus." Martin Luther King's last words were, "Ben, make sure you play 'Take My Hand, Precious Lord' in the meeting tonight. Play it real pretty." He had been speaking to a musician by the name of Ben Branch about the planned event that night. And at that point, he was shot. And then it was Jesus' last words. "Father, into thy hands I command my spirit." The peaceful words were a reflection of how he lived his life. And so, as I read those and I thought about that, it kind of made me ask that question, is where do we find peace in a world of chaos? And where do we find freedom? And where do we find a relationship? And where do we find those things that allow us to live a victorious life over vicious surroundings? Tim read it earlier, how God liberates us from the impression from oppressions and sets us free. Satan tempts us every day. I don't care who you are. He tempts us every day. And if we say we're not tempted, pretty much as Ray was talking in class this morning, it's a lie. Because he does. But what we are to do is to resist it. And he tempts believers as well as he does non-believers. And when we give him an inroad into our heart is when we run into problem. James understood it very well when he said, "Therefore, if you would be subject to God, you should resist the devil, and he will flee from you." When Satan is granted a foothold in our lives, then he'll take a hold of it and he will try to destroy us. And so the thought that went from my mind is, what kind of things face people? Oppressive spirit. Sometimes they are just oppressed. Sometimes they are addicted to a lot of different things. Maybe just one thing, and it just really is destroying them. I thought maybe, you know, there's some people out there that have low self-esteem. Now, you can jump to the other side and be overly conceited. And I had somebody tell me one time when I was at work, said, "You're conceited." I said, "No, I'm confident." There's a big difference. But sometimes that overwhelms you. And what happens is, if you don't feel really good about yourself, or you don't feel really good about something, or if something's taken over your life, then it controls you. And that's the foothold that Satan has got in a lot of people's lives. But the thing to remember is, no one is ever too far gone. No one is ever too far gone. No matter how bad things are in someone's life, there is always a small portion of their will that can be reclaimed. And we've been studying about the second coming and the battle of Armageddon in Revelation on Thursday night. We've been taking a look at that and how people will be forgiven throughout some of the time of the tribulation because they do not take the mark of the beast. But there's going to be such oppression during that time that it's going to be unbearable. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you a copy of the notes that we've been using, and you can sit down and read it. But it's going to be unbearable. But there's still, until a person gets in that position, there's still some will and still a small amount of the will that they have in their lives that God can work with. And we have to realize, and Greg was talking about that lady, and Tim, I don't normally touch a man's neck, but I would if I had to. But I had my hand around her neck, and I could feel a lump on the side of her neck. And when Greg prayed, I could feel it leave, because it wasn't there. "Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you felt something." "Yeah, I did. But then I didn't." And God does things in cycles, I believe. And what had taken over her, and we don't like to say the word demonic, but that's what it was. 14-year-old girl, healed today. But that illness and that tumor that she had to obey God's command, because God is sovereign. So we know God can heal, and I believe he heals, but what about worry? What about anxiety? Everybody wants peace in their life. Everybody wants peace in their world. Peace is the opposite of anxiety. Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so what Paul is saying there is, if you're anxious, give it to God. Sounds easy. But you know, it takes practice and it takes time. I'm not going to tell you that if you're anxious about something today, and if you're anxious about your kids or anxious about something, concerned about your kids, it may take 2 or 3 days. It could be instantaneous, but it could take some time. Here's a thought, and I want you to grasp this. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. When we practice something so long, Jennifer had practiced pain in her neck for 2 years. The key is to change the practice and practice the presence of God in every way and every day. It's a phrase I heard, practice the presence of God when I was in college. from a probably now retired or maybe deceased pastor by the name of Millard Reed. But he preached a series of messages on practice the presence of God. And that becomes the overwhelming, consuming thing in our lives. And if we've got a habit, in order to break a new habit, you know what you got to do? Form a new habit if you're going to break an old habit. Do something different. Somebody said, I believe that if you do something seven times, I think that was what it was, becomes a habit. So practice that idea of, hey, I'm not anxious anymore. Turn it over to God. It's kind of called the law of displacement, or what I call the law of displacement. I have displaced anxiety and anxiousness with peace and comfort. And what's going to happen is when you do that, Satan's going to come along and try to remind you of that. He'll bring everything back on your mind and everything that you have dealt with and everything that you have been through, he will remind you of it because he's great at bringing back remembrances. And so that's why we have to take a look at practicing the presence of God, because Satan cannot dwell in God's presence. He can try, but if you think about Job, remember Job? He couldn't do anything, Satan couldn't do anything to Job until God gave him permission. Well, why is he giving permission to make me anxious? I can tell you. It's because, and this might not be the answer you're looking for, because you don't have to live with it. We live with it by choice. We live with this stuff in our lives by choice. But we get rid of it by practicing the presence of God and saying, Satan, whatever it is, you no longer have control over my mind. Because if your heart's pure, it's your mind that he's working on. It's not your heart. Jesus' message is to trust him. Live in peace. Live in freedom. Live in what he has offered to us, which is heaven on earth. I read a story this week about a guy by the name of Richard Larson. His wife was named Jan, and they had a couple small kids. They lived in a small suburb of Minneapolis, and he pastored a church up there of 35 people. And he also taught part-time at a private college. His wife came to him one day and said, we have no food and we have no money to buy food. And so anyway, he said to her, he said, let's make a list of everything that we need. And so they sat down and made a list of everything that they needed and laid it in the center of the table and prayed that God would meet that need. And soon as they said amen, they said within about 5 seconds, somebody knocked on their back door. One of the deacons had brought them bagfuls after bagfuls after bagfuls of groceries. And they thanked him, and once he left, they thought, well, let's just dump it out on the table and check the list. Everything on their list was on the table, except more. So when people are anxious about things, what we need to do is pray. He had a family. He had financial needs. He had taxes to pay. He'd been fishing all night. He caught nothing, and he had fishermen to pay. And along comes Jesus. And he was trying to teach, and he couldn't teach because the crowds were so great that he got into one of Simon's boats and went out into the water. And after he was finished teaching, he come back in. And he went over to Peter and he told Peter, he said, put your nets out and cast them on the other side. In the middle of the day, because fish don't get in nets in the middle of the day, they get in nets at night. But he did it. And what Peter did that day was he was able to reclaim the fish that he couldn't catch. He paid his debts. He paid his fishermen. But you know the next thing he did? Follow Jesus. And so all that stuff that was in his way that he was probably anxious about, because you have to pay people that work for you. So he couldn't do anything else but clean his fishing nets, and that's what he's out there doing when Jesus walks along and sees him and decides that, Peter decides that, hey, maybe I do need him. Maybe we're not fishing in the right fishing hole. If we are short on provision or we're short on peace and freedom. We got the signs last week that talk about direction in our lives, and God provides direction. God provides provision, housing, food, relationship. Relationships are such an important thing. He provides us with family. He provides us with a church. He provides us with a building. He provides us with people that will pray for us. He provides us with a wife that puts her arm around her husband. I always love to refer to the Reckles because they're always all over each other. But that's the way God is. He takes care of us. He provides for us. If there's something troubling us, if we're anxious about something, we have to replace the anxiety with peace. Practicing the presence of God. They said it earlier. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. It doesn't make any difference what the need is. Money, love, relationship, approval, housing, job. May have been a broken relationship somewhere in somebody's life. And it may have happened. There may be somebody that somebody needs to just say, I'm sorry. That's making us anxious. That's not giving us really the peace that we would like to have. Leverage your regrets by making the most of our second chances. And God will bless you abundantly.